Greetings, yeah. Michael. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Go right ahead.
That's good.
Oh, this is Marcia.
Yeah.
Okay.
I listened to the program yesterday, and the constitutional discussion, which I think it was the Democratic Labor Party candidate for the city, was having confused me in areas. I don't know if you heard the discussion as well. I'm not going to attempt to praise thee of what was said, but there were some things that which rang, they did not ring bells in my head, let me put it that way. And I think, Sanka, that this issue is important enough. And when I say this issue, I mean the issue of our constitution and what is allowed and not allowed in the context of these 90 days that we're going into. I think it's an important enough issue in terms of understanding exactly where we are as Barbadians, that perhaps we need more information and elucidation so that the average person in the street can understand.
So no. You're going to enlighten us about our uncharted waters?
I am not a lawyer. I happen to know a little bit about the Constitution. I can give you some thoughts and some areas that concern me. But, of course, I would be glad, you know, if you or somebody else then can add the girth and the depth that I might not be capable of. But let's just start by accepting that the Constitution outlines basically the governmental structure that we should have in Barbados, right? So if you look at Chapter 5, it gives you information about what is supposed to be the requirement in terms of, I think that one is the Parliament. Let me just flip over here. Chapter 5 gives you information about what the composition of the Parliament is to look like. Chapter 6 talks about the executive power, and Chapter 7, the judiciary. Now, in terms of the period that we are in now, if we look at 61(3) of the Constitution as it is currently written, this is the first thing. It says, subject to the provision of subsection 4, Parliament, unless sooner dissolved, shall continue for 5 years from the date of its first sitting after any dissolution and shall then stand dissolved. So based on what that is saying there, our Parliament was dissolved by virtue of having served 5 years on Monday of this week. Because the Parliament has been dissolved, then some other provisions come into play, or the interpretation of those provisions come into play. One being what is captured at 61(5), and the other being what is captured at 61(2). Now, 61(5) is quite long, and I don't want to read it out. But my concern is that I was hearing yesterday of some six-month grace period that the Prime Minister had before an election could be called. And I wasn't clear. I'm not clear on what it is that was being said. There seems to be a provision in our Constitution, which is an emergency provision. This is another thing that I heard yesterday. I heard the suggestion made that it isn't an emergency provision, but I want to put the reason why I think it can be properly seen as emergency provision on the table. You can tell me whether you agree or not, or somebody with more understanding of the topic can tell me if they agree or not. I just started by saying that chapters 5, 6, and 7 of our Constitution explain the three minimum arms which we need to have a properly constituted government in Barbados. There is a provision which allows for 90 days of the continuation of a governmental structure in Barbados. And the reason why I'm saying that it has to be an emergency provision is that in a case like this, where that grace period comes at the end of 5 years of tenure for the legislature, the parliament, it means then that there are only two arms of government left. Three, if you take one from three, end up with two, right, Sanka? Think so, right, okay. So if you take away the parliament by virtue of it being dissolved because it served its term, it means that you're only left with the judiciary and the executive. But yet our constitution outlines that we are supposed to have three at a minimum. Okay? So I am thinking that based on the fact then that in a period such as this, our government can be considered not properly constituted, that that 90-day provision was most likely an emergency provision so that if something extraordinary was happening, let's say the hurricane of the magnitude of what Dominica faced last year had hit us before election or whatever elections was not possible, then you would have two arms that could still keep the government functional until such time as an election could be called. Now, the Constitution even goes further to outline some of those emergency situations, in case of war and that kind of thing, what would happen. Now, so that's why I'm thinking it's emergency provision. But like I said,
Let me get in here, because I wanted you to develop your argument, because I recognize that you were dealing, you were saying something similar, as you said, in your column, which I read.
Yep.
Word for word. And I even discussed it with a lawyer who has an interest in this sort of subject. Mm-hmm. And he came to the conclusion, and I've been guided by him, that really and truly the government is within their right to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not a case where, whether it's emergency or not, because we had a situation similarly in Trinidad with Kamla Bessessar, the prime minister there, where she also went into that 90-minute provision, because it's there.
If only it was 90 minutes. 90 days.
Sorry, Mike. Thank you.
90 minutes. I wouldn't mind.
90-day provision. You know, so they're well. The government is well within its right from a constitutional
point of view
perspective. Mm-hmm. But as David mentioned yesterday, it is the spirit of the law that I think that quite a few people are questioning here.
But it's not only the spirit of the law. The question is, if we have three minimum requirements for a government,
mm-hmm.
okay, we now are at that place where we have two. That is one of the concerning things. Now, further from that, and what I really would like an answer to today, 62(1) says that after the dissolution of Parliament, the Governor General shall issue writs for a general election of members of the House of Assembly returnable within 90 days from the dissolution. Now, I didn't hear she may, I didn't hear she could, didn't hear any of that. So what I am trying to understand is, now that our Parliament stands dissolved, does the Governor General have an obligation based on what is outlined in the Constitution?
But I can't remember the provision is, but she has to do that on the advice of the Prime Minister.
But it doesn't say that in 62(1).
It doesn't, but you see, because you can't read that statute, as you will know, you can't just read the statute. And they cross-references all the time. But the mm-hmm. reality is that she, well, is a she in this particular case.
Mm-hmm.
She will do that on the advice of the Prime Minister.
But that's what I'm asking. Because under this Part 5, where I'm taking this particular information about summoning the propagation and the dissolution of Parliament, mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the cross-referencing. So that's what I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to establish.
It's not there, because I actually went through it. I looked at your article, and I actually downloaded the Constitution on my computer, and so I went through it line by line to think. The reality is this, and because I have a person here also saying, and I'll just read this quickly. First, let me say I am not satisfied with your response to the mail you received earlier. The question was, if the Prime Minister does not call an election, what would happen? Respectfully, Sanka, this has nothing to do with believing the Prime Minister. If he does not call it, it will be automatically called when the prescribed period has passed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
We're not arguing that.
Right. So at the end of the day, and WhatsApp person, I will read the other half of your message. That was for that person. Yeah. But at the end of the day, the Prime Minister has taken this route. The Constitution does provide for him to take this route. What, in my view, we should be asking is what impact this is going to have on the country, because right now the country is in lame duck mode.
But the, like, yes, that's exactly
and that,
the
and
question.
And that, for
that
me,
I'm
is the issue.
Ask.
We had a banker in the Nation newspaper making it quite clear that, you know, this is a period of uncertainty, because you're not going to make investment at this period. Nothing is really going to happen. And that is the problem. It is happening at a time when our foreign reserves are continue to slide. And for my mind, that is the real issue that should be being discussed. As far as the, and I understand, I'm not dismissing or diminishing your argument in any way, but for me, I am really concerned about what is going to happen going forward in terms of our economy. Because
now, let me just explain why 61 troubles me so much in terms of if the Governor General is just supposed to automatically issue those writs or what happens. Because in the provision before that, which is 61.5, okay, the Parliament of Barbados can be reconvened in the case of an emergency. So let's say our foreign reserves really bottom out and there is a need for our Parliament to go back and do something to arrest that situation.
Marsha, I can't develop this conversation any further, but if you stay on the line, I'll get back to you, because we really need to go to the regional roundup right now. So we'll be with you. We'll come back with you as soon as the regional roundup is finished. Welcome back. Marsha, are you still there?
Yes, Anka.
Sorry we had to leave you so abruptly, but you know, everything is timed.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're making your point.
Right. So what I was saying is, and I'm sorry to go over this, like you rightly said, Sanka, I've just interrogated this in another space, but I'm doing it in relation to some of what I heard yesterday that didn't ring quite right. Now, I was saying to you that the Parliament can be reconstituted in the case of an emergency or foreign reserve. Something happens. We need to have urgent decisions. But that is conditional upon if the Governor General does not file the writs for elections. So once the writs for elections are filed, there is no way to invoke that again, I call it an emergency, further provision that the last sitting parliament can be reconstituted as it sat before the dissolution. So not only are we moving ourselves into this very uncharted waters of having, you know, a five-year period elapsed and no election having been called, but we are further into an uncharted place where if an emergency should happen, our parliament, our legislature cannot be reconstituted. So that's why it becomes important to understand whether the Governor General's actions are just supposed to be triggered by the dissolution of parliament, or if that is conditional upon her taking advice from the Prime Minister. But like I said, when I look in the statute, I am not seeing a provision that takes it back to any conditional upon anything. So if we're saying that the government is within its constitutional right and it can do this thing and this, that, I think it is only fair for all of us to have the fullness and understanding of what the Constitution is really saying. Because I am understanding it to mean that if our parliament dissolves as it has on Monday without an election date on the horizon, et cetera, that the Governor General is to issue the writs for election. And if I'm wrong about that, then I would like somebody to make the clarification. It is not enough, Sanka, that in this period, this economic period for Barbados, that we're all going to sit around and twiddle our thumbs for 89 or 88 more days and hope and pray that nothing happens. Gas prices are on the increase again. We are playing with fire.
Marsha, what I will try to do, I will try to get someone who can speak to the Constitution. And even if I'm not on, I will try to get that person to come on so that they can make that clarification.
Yes,
that's something that
would be,
taken,
you know,
for yourself,
the best thing.
As for other Barbadians who are obviously very concerned about this.
I think it would be the best thing, because if you have people representing political institutions and putting their view, let me put it that way, of the situation, you know, then you're going to need to either be able to provide the fullest story, or you're going to have somebody who comes on the back end of that and offers the necessary clarifications.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Take good care. This is Brass Tacks. It's 12:10. Good afternoon.
Mr. Price. Hello?
Good afternoon. I'm listening.
Yes, sir. Oh, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, it's not very cold to have you. God, chill. Mr. Price.
You've clearly never been into the studio.
Yeah, the lady who has just been engaging your attention for that length of time, I think if you'd read the Allen's article, ministers remain ministers until there's a new parliament, full stop. So I don't think all that she gets herself concerned about really makes any sense. Trinidad had an election some years ago, and there was the 1818 tie. Remember that? And parliament did not sit for close to 18 months. But the country still ran, so I don't know what's concerned. Anyway.
Well, I don't expect anything else from you. You seem to be very, very, very dismissive of concerns of other people because you just come here to push your own propaganda.
Mr. Price, don't okay? go down that road.
No, I will go down that road with you. Okay? Because you cannot be dismissive of something like this. You can't be. Anyhow, make your point. Make your point. No.
I did not dismiss it. I said
make your point. Otherwise, no. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You're on the air. You're on the air. Stop listening to your radio. Just read this thing, this WhatsApp until we get this little technical hitch here figured out. This person wants to know about the National Insurance Fund relating to pensions. The staff at NAS are not answering the phones. I have been calling since last week and the past 2 days. Sometime before Christmas last year, NAS sent a check for a month to be changed one time, as opposed to two pieces sent before. So this person has some concerns about that. Yes, we're back here with the phone lines. All worked out? Yeah, let's go. Good afternoon. This is getting down to Brass Tacks. It's 12:13. We break at 12:30. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
I am fine.
Mr. Price, I would like to start my submission by asking you a question, right? If you have a good friend and you do good things for this friend, and let's say you have just given the friend $500, and then you did something that was wrong, you feel that the friend should chastise you about it?
Friends, if you're and somebody are close, you should be able to tell that person the truth.
Right.
Unfortunately, in life, sometimes the uncomfortable truth is such that it impacts a friendship, a supposedly good relationship between people. And that is at every level.
Okay. Let me start my submission. A couple of days ago, a gentleman came on this program and he alluded to an issue in relation to the National Disability Unit, the amount of steps that person with disability would have to go up to get there, about 21 steps. And do you know that after that, I guess everybody in Barbados heard responses from a minister in parliament lashing out at him and saying that we help him with a house. The same person that get help with house has got to pay rent every possible month. And Mr. Price, that person has a disability. And I know that they are struggling even to get the rent pay. Some persons with disabilities, after receiving the national insurance pension, and then have to pay for rent. I said, don't be careful, Mr. Price. They can't eat. When you go into supermarkets, the things have become so expensive, especially now with this NSRL tax that this government has just inflicted on its people. Mr. Price, it ain't easy out there at all. Only yesterday, I witnessed about 5 persons that I know whose electricity have been turned off because the people can't afford jobs that they can't get to be able to facilitate themselves in order to get ends meet. And people are coming on this ear and talking all kind of things. Mr. Price, I'm a person with a disability, right? And I'm feeling it like everybody else.
But I want you to tell us what, without obviously trying to identify yourself, how are you coping on a day-to-day basis and ease off of the negatives of the how the government imposed this and the government imposed that. We know that it's only government who can impose taxes.
Okay. For myself, I would say that I may not be able to get all of the things that I would like or that I need, right? One of the things that I must be thankful of is that the Lord has allowed me to own my own home. So therefore, the little money that I'm getting, I don't have to pay a rent. That is a plus for me. But as I said, it is really rough out there. And I can tell you that there are many persons like myself with various types of disabilities that have to pay a rent. Mm-hmm. And then they don't know where food can come from, Mr. Price. They got children that they got to send school.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be realistic. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm not sort of dismissing or diminishing anything that you're saying. But at the same time, this is something that has been going on in terms of people who are on the edge, who are just above the poverty line, or who are under the poverty line, trying to make ends meet. That is why the different social agencies have been put there to try to assist these people. And I'm sure, well, no, I'm sure I shouldn't say that, but what I should say is, aren't some of the people that you know trying to apply to those social agencies for assistance?
Yes, Mr. Price.
And what is happening?
Some have tried and failed.
Why have they failed? Do you have any idea?
Don't ask me. You have.
Are you getting assistance through the social agencies as well?
No, because I have worked before. Mm-hmm. I receive
NIS.
NIS.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So. And as I said, I don't have to pay rent. So the money that I would have to pay rent, if I had to pay rent, I would probably go live at my mother. Mm-hmm. Thank God I don't have to do that. But okay. There's not everybody out there that is as fortunate as me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one of the other things that I am cognizant of is that then there are many other disabled persons that are struggling and they don't want housing. There's supposed to be legislation that says that when a housing complex is built, mm-hmm. a certain percentage should be allocated for persons with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It probably happened on a very, very small scale.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end of the day, if the person is only receiving, and you don't get this, you don't get them free, you know? You don't get them free, Mr. Price. you still got to pull your pockets. And if you, the little money that you are getting from the government, some probably are living off of the non-contributory pension, right? And you probably know how much the non-contributory pension is. So if you have to pay the rent from your non-contributory pension, and then you don't got no other assistance. I know persons that have gone to the welfare, and they get turned down. Mr. Pratt,
sir, very hard up there. And I'm hearing you. I'm aware of a number of welfare cases that are, to me, kind of heartbreaking. But one of the things that I would like to see in this country is that the associations speak out, like the disabled community. You would have a particular body who's representative of that body, that they are in a position to say, look, these are the problems that we face. You know, this is why I admire BARP, the Barbers Association of Retired Persons, because their leadership speaks out about matters that affect the elderly. And I would like to hear these types of things. You know, what are the real problems that are affecting people in the disabled community? And you get this thing coming out. Because what we tend to get are people who got their own, especially in this silly season, it's really the silly season, where people have an axe to grind, they come out, and they're just making their points. I mean, if you can see here, right, well, you obviously can't see here, but right now I am being accused by some people of allowing they're saying that you're pushing your own propaganda, and I'm allowing it.
Because
the fact that you're talking about how hard things are, et cetera, et cetera. And that is the problem that I have here. And for those who are writing right now and saying that I was unduly harsh to the last call who calls himself Arthur, or who's called that, I make no apology, because every day he comes with the same thing and is dismissive of other people's concerns.
Mr. Okay? Price?
Oh, no. I'm talking. Just hold a second.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Because I'm not really talking to you, but I'm talking to these people here who are on WhatsApp and in general. The reality is this. Everybody has a right to come on this program and to put forward their case for their party. That is not a problem. However, you cannot dismiss issues of import. You cannot do it, and it continues to happen. And like in your case, sir, that who I'm talking to now, who is disabled, I am well aware of a number of cases where people are literally suffering because they're below the poverty line and they cannot get any assistance. And that's why I made the point here about the actual representative body coming out. Because the reality is that when an individual comes out and says something, A, B, or C, it's just that one person alone. And their motives can be, you know, whatever. Because in this country, and especially in this silly season, people always impute motive, even if though the person has a genuine case. And that is why it's better for the association to be actually saying something on behalf of their membership. And I would really wish that you would get your association to make these complaints, because there are genuine cases. And what is happening is that people are walking around, or they have their friends or relatives walking around begging for assistance. They have letters and they have pictures. I was approached two, 3 days ago, by someone outside a major supermarket. And they showed me a picture of the person, the letter, and whatnot. Normally, I ignore these things, but because the nation had done a story with this person at some time ago, I recognized the individual. Okay? And I know this is too much of this is happening.
Yeah,
and too many people are falling through the cracks. And we got to deal with it, because at the end of the day, we all got to live this in this place. And all this partisan foolishness, and yes, I said it, partisan foolishness, Okay? At the end of the day, we are not going to have a country if we continue in this way. And I am not going to sit down here and tolerate all this partisan foolishness all the time. No, I'm not going to do it. Make your point.
There are legitimate organizations out there for persons with disabilities. But as you know, there's only so much that those organizations can do. And it is not that the organizations aren't speaking out and lobbying on behalf of persons like myself. It is being done. But you got to ask yourself, what are the end results? Like, for instance, as I said, somebody came on this program and said, like, for instance, you go to the hospital and the hospital gives you a prescription to get medication. And if when you go to collect the medication, there's not that one particular medication that you're supposed to get. The person said, we need to start depending on someone's freeness and go and buy the medication. And then allude to the fact that person is going to buy lotto tickets. Mr. Price, that is very insensitive. And everybody don't go buy lotto tickets. What about the persons that don't buy and are in dying need and don't have the last cent to pay for that medication? Tell me.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, anyhow, I'd like to thank you for your call. As I said, I really think you have to work through the association to start getting the information out there. In fact, the best time for a lot of the associations to talk is now. We have this 90-day period where I'm sure if the government and the opposition parties never listened to you before, they will listen now because they need to listen to you now. And I would tell all associations, this is the time to be proactive and get your message out to all the political parties. They have to listen to you now. And this is the best way to get the message out. We have to take a break for the latest, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's now 12:44. We go straight to one. We've cleared all our ads. And before I go back to the phone lines, which are packed, I'll just get this one in. I'm wondering, this is a WhatsApp message, I'm wondering if something can be done to make the Jersey bars on the ABC highway more visible, especially on stretches where the lights are dim or non-existent. I find it extremely difficult to use the inside lane on certain parts of that highway at night because of the Jersey bars. So is it possible for the Ministry of Transport and Works to put some sort of bright paint or something on the bars to assist, especially the elderly motorists? Just wondering if I am the only one having that difficulty. So I've read your message as requested. We go back to the phone lines. They're packed. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price, and how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You were not harsh to that person. You were right. I want to say to the people of Barbados, someone told me this morning, and I really don't agree with them, that a nation gets the government they deserve. I don't think that this nation deserves what we are going through right now. This is, the people of Barbados are good people. This is a beautiful island. We don't deserve the treatment and the behavior of this administration, of what we're going through. And then there was another guy who spoke about being tired of both parties, the previous party, the BLP and the DLP. I, too, am tired of both parties, and we really need to be paying attention. I'm begging Barbadians, before the next general elections, if there is going to be one, because everyone seems to be very confused at this time, please pay attention. Please think very carefully about politicians, because sometimes I wonder if politicians really care about anybody but themselves. And the things I'm hearing and I'm reading and I'm seeing and I'm listening to have me very confused. I don't know what is going on, but I feel for the people that are really having a hard time, as the guy was saying about the disabled and whoever else. I really feel for them, and I pray God that I know God is not sleeping, that something positive comes out of all these hardships. May God bless you, Mr. Price.
Same to you. Have yourself a great day. This is Brad Sachs. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're on the air. Please turn on your radio.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Go right ahead.
Right. I really wanted to call and thank the young lady, Marcia, who was having a very enlightening discussion with you concerning the dissolution of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions I was asking myself, too, because I believe that the government should have, you know, informed the people as to the terms and conditions of the 90-day period.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me if the ministers are still ministers?
Yes.
Or are they ex-ministers?
Yes. No, the ministers are still ministers.
But how can they be ministers if Parliament has been dissolved?
They're no longer MPs. Because Parliament has been dissolved, but you remain a minister. Cabinet is still there. Cabinet will make the decisions on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I thought that Cabinet came to an end when Parliament was dissolved.
No.
This is how we always do it.
No, the members of Parliament, they're no longer members of Parliament, but the Cabinet is part of the executive body, the decision-making body of the government, and they're still in place.
Well, right. What I wanted to say to this government is that the relationship between the Democratic Labour Party and the people of Barbados has broken down. And we want a divorce.
But why would you say it is broken down?
It is broken down. It's a lack of trust. You cannot
So
trust
why do you
the
think that there's a lack of trust?
Because look at this recent scenario with Four Seasons. The Minister of Finance gave Barbadians an impression that investors were interested in Four Seasons. And over the weekend, we discovered that the Four Seasons project was sold since 2015. Would you not call that a lack of trust, a breakdown of trust between the parties? And that's just one scenario. And I am saying to you, Mr. Price, that there's a term called political indecent assault. And I believe that this government is practicing political indecent assault on the people of Barbados. In that it is forcing itself on the people. The people have decided that the relationship is broken down and we want a divorce.
So that's your perspective there.
Yes,
I can tell you that there are quite a few people. In fact,
there's
30,000 odd people in Barbados based on the trend of voting throughout the years, since independence certainly, who will vote differently to say that they are in total agreement with the government and its actions.
The government needs to give the people an opportunity to vote.
And they will get it
what
in
they
after
are doing
90 days.
To the people of Barbados is wrong.
All right, sir. You've made your point. We got a lot of calls and we got a little time. 9 more minutes to go. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Question for you. I don't know how much you know about pensions, right? But I can ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were married and your wife died and you were and she was a pension and you are too and you're a pensioner at her death, it works out that the national insurance would give the surviving person the most of the two pensions.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you were getting $1,000 and your wife were getting $1,200, your $1,000 was top and you would get her $12.
Yes. As far as
you understand that, as far as it works?
Yes. I'm speaking on the correction, but I think that's how it works.
It works that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know if Mark Thompson can get David Thompson's pension and hers too, or if she would get one. That's the question I would like to ask.
All right, I'll make a note of that question and try to get that answer as well.
And one more thing I want to say to Sanka. Last night I was listening to Guest Mason and Guest.
Very good program last night. Very good. Pardon? It was a very good program last night with Condé Reilly and Prime Minister Gonzalez on.
It was good to Condé, until Condé entered. Because the question I'm asking, although I don't quite understand what Prime Minister Gonzalez and his team are trying to achieve. I don't really understand it. Somebody will have to sit me down and explain it to me in detail, because they don't understand it. But the part of the program, although it was interesting, however, but the part of the program that I didn't like is when Condé entered the program. This is the second time that Condé has been very disrespectful to the Prime Minister of St. Vincent. And the producer, whoever he or she was, should have cut out Condé when he was telling the Prime Minister dropping a lot of sarcastic comments towards the Prime Minister of St. Vincent. And I really think that Condé should apologize. And it's the second time I'm saying this, that Condé really should apologize to the Honorable Prime Minister of St. Vincent, because it's the second time that the Prime Minister was on the program, Condé came on, and he was very sarcastic and condescending, if I may add, to the Prime Minister. And I think that kind of behavior needs really to be cleaned up.
All right, sir. Point made. We would want to take at least one more call before I do that. This person is saying the DLP has proven they have Barbados's deeper interests at heart. And that is the response to some questions that are being asked about the concerns about the party. And this other person is saying, and this is in response to the Jersey barriers, you are not the only one. It's very scary because our headlights are angled to the left side. It means that most of the time the barriers are in darkness. This is from a disappointed road user. It is 12:54, six more minutes before the end of the program. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah. First thing I have to say is I am not here to discuss politics, because I made a decision months ago that I will not discuss politics with Mr. Price. I took a vacation with you discussing politics. But I called because I even surprised I get in. Can you help me? This is a question.
I'm not answering your question. Make your point. I want to get. We have three more calls. Make your point.
Can you help me with what Mr. Arthur said that caused what I heard? Can you remember what he said? I mean, to which position in anything?
Sir, I'm not even dealing with that. Do you want to make another point? Do you want to make another point on any issue?
No, I told you the only thing I come here today for.
Okay, I'm not dealing with that. Have a great afternoon. Next caller. Good afternoon. This is Getting Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Good afternoon.
Yes, the last time I heard you on the program, or at least the time before, I recall a gentleman by the name of Tony Wiggins was trying to raise a topic with you regarding a lecture delivered with the title, Is Barbados Ready for a Woman Prime Minister? And at that time, you tried hard not to allow the discussion, because you were basically saying that it was foolishness, it wasn't worth discussing. And subsequent to that, Peter Wickham then also, in addition to that, you had also said that the presenter of the lecture had her own partisan political agenda to push. Since then, Peter Wickham delivered the same title, and he was asked to deliver it by the women's organization Now. And I'm asking you the question is, since Peter Wickham delivered it, do you still think that the topic is foolishness and it doesn't worth discussing?
Why did I say it is foolishness? Do you remember?
You said that the presenter had her own personal political agenda.
I can't remember who the presenter was or anything, because really and truly I don't even think about most of these things.
Maureen Holder.
Okay. Oh, I'm now with you. The point is this, and this is the only point I make, because we have to be very quick.
Yeah.
I strongly believe that is not... Sir, I'm getting a lot of feedback here.
Okay, let me go back and say it.
I strongly believe that the question of whether we want a female leader or anything to do with any females doing anything is a non-issue. Women are... Sir, please turn down the radio. We're getting a lot of feedback here, and it's gonna it's gonna cause the transmission problem. The point I was making is that women have made tremendous strides. They have been, and as far as I am concerned, it gender doesn't matter. What matters is competence. That is my interest. It has nothing to do with anything else. That is why I said it was foolishness. Then, that's why I think that any discussion about a female leader, a female, whether it's a leader of the country, whether it's the governor general, whether it's a director of public prosecutions, whether it is a CEO of any sort, I think it is foolishness because I deal with competence, not gender. And I do not believe in getting into discussions about gender in any way, because it, for me, it is all about competence. That determines, in my view, whether some person should get a position. So their sex, their gender has nothing, as far as I'm concerned, to do with it. And it saddens me that at this stage in the 21st century, that we still talk about an issue and we have to put a gender, assign a gender to the whole topic. I don't believe in it. That is my philosophical belief, and I will always keep up to that view because I really don't think it is necessary. Anyhow, you're hearing the, and thank you for your call, sir. You're hearing the theme in the background. That means that we are out of time. Thank you very much, and I look forward to being here another day where we can discuss some issues and stop just dealing with this politicking. We really have to start looking at the issues that are affecting us, issues that are going to be here, whether or not whoever wins this government. We need to start looking at the issues, and we need to start to ask the questions that need to be asked of all the political actors.